Christ Himself. Every parable that He gave us was drawn from personal experience. Number 6. Parables correspond to our primary way of learning from actual sense experience. God became man in order to have sense experience, in order to hear and feel and touch and see and taste, so that then he could, by describing the deepest mysteries of the Godhead in the language of sense perception, we might come to some understanding of the mysteries of God. What is the implication for us? All of our experiences in life, being human beings, whether body and soul, are sense experiences. In every experience in our lives, God is revealing Himself to us. And we repeat, in every experience in our lives, God is revealing Himself to us. And He wants us to learn from the sense experiences we have. For example, the people putting up some ladders outside the window. And over the years, I have found that the more concentrated I try to make my mind a distraction, diverts my mind from what I'm saying. What would be a lesson that I would apply from asking you to close those shades? Our minds, strange as it may seem, should always be united with the mind of God. That's not a figure of speech. We should see God in everything in our lives. Once we do that, and this takes a lifetime practice, then, as you take only a moment, what is God telling me? God is always talking to us in everything. In everything, in everything. Including the about 35 minutes of successive distraction that I have had. To tell you and to share with you to honestly strive and ask our Lord to tell you, what do you want? What do you want me to do? And then, when we deal with other people, no two persons that we ever speak to, hard to say the least, the same. Every person we talk to is intended by God to learn from us the will of God. What we say, what we don't say, how we act, or how we react, is meant to be for that person a grace. And consequently, that in our conversation, that we make sure, as far as in us lies, that we share with others what, before God, we believe they need. Number 7. The parables of the Gospels provide for the role of the Holy Spirit torn up in the meaning and application of the revealed truth. God knows that we need much more to know and understand than any words that we can read will convey. That is why, by meditating on the parables, provided we are sincere and honestly want to learn what our Lord is telling us, the secret is to be open with our minds to the mind of God. Our native intelligence, our education, has nothing to do, I mean it, nothing to do with how much we will learn. It all depends on our openness to the mind and will of God. Number 8, the parables provide for the role of the church to give the authentic interpretation. If there is one thing that we need to know as Catholics, is that the Bible does not interpret itself. The Bible has to be explained. And the final arbiter in explaining the Bible is the church which Christ instituted. And that is why, as I've said more than once in our classes here, it is so important to not only read the Bible, but to read what the church says in explanation of the Bible. There are books in print in which, take the Gospels, all the Gospels have been interpreted and explained many times over by those whom we call the fathers of the church. You can get your hands on an English translation, comes in several volumes, of St. Thomas's collection of the explanation of the four Gospels, drawing on the fathers of the church. You'll be enriched in getting to understand the meaning of the New Testament. I wouldn't even know, though I do know it's an English translation, I would not even know the name of the English book or books. I do know the Latin title. It is called Catena Aurea. Catena Aurea, which means the golden chain. There, verse after verse of the four Gospels is explained by some father of the church whom St. Thomas had read and then chose just that passage, maybe a couple of sentences, a short paragraph, to explain the meaning of one verse after another. How we need to know the church's interpretation of the Bible and the fathers of the church after the vicars of Christ, though not a few fathers of the church were vicars of Christ themselves. But after the popes, there are no more authentic interpreters of the Bible than the fathers of the church. So that, although the preoccupation with the Bible nowadays, everybody is reading the Bible. Everybody, all kinds of Bible classes. And everybody, all of a sudden, has become a biblical scholar. And the need we have, and I use the word desperate need, to know the church's interpretation of the Bible and here of the parables. So that, unlike what is happening in so many places nowadays, groups are formed to discuss the Bible. 10 people give 10 interpretations. They are warmed. They are exhilarated. They feel better. After that, interchange of a mixture of sometimes the most contradictory interpretations. We are to use the Bible and use the Bible in conversation. By the way, in teaching as I have over the years in Protestant seminaries, I never have to ask if somebody had a copy of the Bible. Not a few Protestants have memorized, even not all, much of the New Testament. But I repeat, we are not merely to read the Bible for our purpose, the parables, but know the church's explanation of the meaning of those parables. Finally, provide for the role of each believer to derive as much wealth of meaning as his humility, sinlessness, docility, and generosity allows God to confer. One of my hopes in this unusual class, one of my hopes is to encourage you to engage in mental prayer, to do some meditation. And my recommendation is, use the parables. However, and is this never important? However, you'll get only as much, even from reading the Bible, not to say meditating, for example, one of the parables, as we ourselves are humble and sinless and docile and loving and charitable. The main obstacle to understanding the Bible here, to understanding the parables, the main obstacle is not a lack of education, not a lack of intelligence. It is mainly a lack of holiness. A child of six, that is, humble and sinless and docile and generous, will get more from reading the story of, say, remember the children in the Gospels, how Christ selectively chose and said, unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. That child of six will get more from the reading of Scripture. Father, you don't know children. Children of the age of six don't read the Bible. But if they don't read the words, you then read the Bible to them. Long before I could read, my mother read for how many hours from the Scriptures? The closer we are to God, the more we will derive what God uses in almost embarrassingly simple language. Well, the key is that we are really, and I mean really humble, and have an open mind and an open heart to what Christ wants to tell us. Now, some implications. The parables are meant for all time. In other words, for our time too. You might say, we don't use drachmas. We don't have bushel baskets. By the way, that is an interpretation of the revealed text. Our language is different. Yes. But the experience that Christ describes in the parables are universal and perennial. For example, sample parables. Do we all need to be good Samaritans? Do we all need to be generous to the needy? Unlike the rich man, remember, who would allow just the scraps from his table to be picked up by the poor Lazarus, or the prodigal son, or the talents. Every parable is universal. Universal in time and universal in persons. The parables are our principal source of Christ's teaching. That single statement would be enough to have held these classes during, what is it, the winter and now the spring of 1992. We all want to know about Jesus Christ. If even one person, please God, many of you, and if it's a miracle, all of you, feel maybe for the first time in your lives begun to open the New Testament. You might say to yourself, I feel silly. That's great. Not quite sure what I'm doing. But Father Harton says, meditate on the parables. So here goes. The parable of the two sowers. One sowing good seed during the day. The other sowing bad seed during the night. Give yourself a set amount of time. You're going to meditate on whatever parable you choose. And the novitiate, we were given 55 minutes each morning. Got up at 5. Let you dress, make a visit to chapel, and 25 after 5, go back to our rooms and begin to meditate. Like I told you, during the meditation, unannounced. Remember, did I tell you? Visitor would come in. There were 6 of us in each room. See, what posture were we in during what should be meditation? There were several postures. Kneeling, no problem. Standing, no problem. Sitting upright, no problem. But anyone who was in a supine posture and we each had our places. 6 desks, 6 kneelers, and 6 chairs. In room so-and-so, number 3, was supine during Monday morning's meditation. Before the day was over, you were called in by the novice master. Are you feeling well? I couldn't be more serious. Because number 2 is the heart of our life. Whatever else we need, and we need so many things, the most important thing we need in life is to know Jesus Christ. So what do I do to know Jesus Christ? I take time out and I set my time. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Physician whom I've known over the years since I first read the subject with him, he tells me 4 years by now. He gets up 1.5 hour earlier every morning than he used to. So we can spend 1/2 hour in meditation. And read, say, the parable of the two sowers. You may have heard it 50 times. Remember, if you give yourself, say, 20 minutes, you got only one parable. You can read it in about a minute, maybe a minute and a half. You've got 18 and a half minutes to go. Don't give up. Ask our Lord, what are you telling me? And he may tell you, it's about time you asked me. You never asked me what I meant when I gave the parable of the two sowers. It was meant for you. Because in your life, there are two sowers. I am the good sower. I'm sowing good seed. Every thought I put into your mind is the truth. Every idea I give you is meant to inspire you with a deeper love and knowledge of me and of others out of love for me. But there are two sources. Maybe you never realize this, but your mind is exposed to this other source. Do you realize that what you are reading, the programs you're listening to, the television you are watching, the friends with you may spend hours in conversation. Has it ever occurred to you that they might be sowing bad seed? You'd be startled. Gosh, would I never thought of it. Well, he'll tell you it's about time. Every one of the parables is meant for every one of us. But unless we take the time and the trouble to not just read, but, and I use the verb, meditate, and I repeat what I've said before, place yourself in the presence of God and realizing that you are talking to Him and He is talking to you. And then listen to what He's telling you. You'll be surprised at how much you will learn. The parables are to be a main source of meditation. The parables call for prayer in order to grasp their meaning, for practice in living out the parables so as to grow in our virtue of faith. The parables call for docility in obedience to the church's teaching and explaining the parables. For example, the parable of the two sowers. How many people simply have no idea of how profound was Christ's teaching in the two sowers. I left Detroit Friday. Went to Chicago, gave a lecture. Then went from Chicago to Washington. Returned from Washington this morning. And yesterday, I spent about 4 hours giving a conference to Mother Teresa's sisters in Washington. And I told them what I will repeat to you. You sisters have been now over 40 years in existence. And your rule of life forbids secular newspapers, secular magazines, radio and television. And I told them, I pray that in God's providence, long after Mother Teresa has gone to her reward, you will not change your rule of life. Do you know what I am saying? Most people are just blissfully ignorant, blind to having their minds constantly open to the sower of bad seed. Finally, the parables are the model for teaching of the faith. I would then like to finish, because I would like to close, by 10:04. I'd like to finish where I began, and this has been a very rambling class, I know. What I want to get across is this. Besides what I've just been saying about the importance of mental prayer in our lives and using the parables as a preferred form of meditation or mental prayer, well, there is something else I wish to share with you, and that is that even as Christ used parables or stories to teach the faith, so we, and I say this with my deepest sincerity, should cultivate the art of spiritual conversation. That when we talk to people, we don't just talk at random. That we know what we are talking about, and that we share with others, speaking sincerely, speaking simply, and quite frankly, telling the story of our own life, provided we are united with God ourselves. He will never be wasting a single word, no matter how boring or dreary what we are talking about may seem to be. God will use us to communicate His wisdom through us to everyone who is patiently willing to listen to us. And with that, I think I should close.